Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter the world of the paranormal.
And I cannot hear anything.
Hey, Patrice, can you hear me? Hello? Well, it appears that we are experiencing some technical difficulty. I don't know if Patrice can hear me. Can you hear me, Patrice? Weird. Well, let me ask the chat room if Can you guys hear me in chat? If anybody's listening to the show in chat, I know we have two shows going on right now. If anybody in chat right now is listening to the show, can you let me know in chat? Because I'm not sure what the issue is. Hello? Well, this is odd. Pat is called in as the host, and I'm on the guest number, so I don't have a lot of control, and I don't know if she can hear me, and we obviously can't hear her, and I don't even know if my voice is going over. So, yes.
Hello.
You can hear me, Thunder?
Now I can hear you.
Oh, now you can hear me?
Now I can. I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, I just got confirmation in chat that I wasn't sure if my voice was coming over anybody's was. I could hear you, but I guess you couldn't hear me. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't know what was going on. Well, hello, Jason. How's it going?
It's going. I was a little nervous there for a second.
I know, because I'd been on for a while, and then I didn't even get to hear the intro, but it must be something on my end. We're still experimenting, everyone out there, with our audio, and it's always a work in progress, so sorry about that. And
No worries. We got it going. You know, when stuff like that happens, I always like to, let's just blame aliens.
Yeah, no kidding, and I didn't get to hear our intro, unfortunately, because that's always a highlight.
Yeah, I played the modified Edwin Becker Techno, the new one that I sent to you. I played that one, and I actually had to click that one, and that was supposed to play, and it didn't. So we're not batting really well here.
I know. Maybe it has something to do with Thanksgiving, but, you know, that's the way it goes, and I'm just glad to be here doing another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And so, Jason, we don't have any special guests tonight other than yourself.
I know, I feel kind of special, but, you know, I do have some amazing stories to tell, and I do want to let the listeners know that it wasn't out of lack of guests. I just felt, because there's always a huge amount of guests that we can get on the show, but, you know, I haven't talked about what's going on with me in the past in quite some time. So since we hadn't had any UFO people on yet, I felt that it was time to kind of let the alien out of the bag.
Yes, definitely. And Jason, I guess I've probably known you for about a year now since I started doing Super Unknown with Dave Harms, and you were the first guest on our show for Super Unknown, and you were gracious enough to share your story, one of your stories, about something that happened to you regarding aliens. And that's actually what we're going to talk to tonight. We've had a lot of requests for some alien discussions, and what better way to do it than with you, since you've actually had some experiences. And what I like about talking with you about this topic and other topics is you're actually a big skeptic. You don't just say, oh, yeah, that weird noise was a ghost, or, oh, yeah, that must have been an alien, or that was Bigfoot. You really put a lot of thought into it and careful analysis before you raise your hand and say, yeah, that was an alien or whatever. So I think that says a lot, because you've had some strange things happen, which we're going to talk about tonight. What exactly did you want to start with tonight, Jason?
Well, you know, there have been many interesting things, but I'll tell you, you're right. I am a skeptic pretty much about everything. And the reason for that is pretty much, you know, my occupational background as an investigator over the years doing a variety of different things. I'm a big skeptic with the whole thing. But I'll have to tell you, Pat, is kind of what sets at least one of my major experiences apart from, you know, all the other things you hear out there, is I have physical evidence. And I'm not talking about, you know, an implant or a scars and stuff like that, which I do have, but I have, and I will get into the story a little bit, but you'll see, you know, that's kind of what sets some of this stuff apart.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially, and you're going to tell us about it, you know, you've got proof, and I've never seen any of the physical markings that you're speaking about, but I believe you. And tell us, when did this your first experience happen that you want to share with us tonight, Jason, that has to do with an alien event? But let me ask you this. Before you talk about aliens, were you one of these folks that believed in aliens anyway, Jason? Were you like reading about it a lot and watching sci-fi movies and things like that?
No, not at all. When stuff first started to happen, I wasn't into that at all. It wasn't until much later that I started looking into the phenomenon. And but if you want, I can just kind of just start with a chronology about what happened.
Yeah, please tell us kind of what happened and where and all the nitty-gritty, and I'll probably have quite a few questions as you tell your story, as the story unfolds.
And you'll have to forgive me if I throw in the occasional, you know, sound effect.
Oh, good. That makes it more fun for all of us.
You know, it's kind of fun having access to the fun buttons, so to speak. But
all right.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
All right. So basically, you know, if something happened in my early childhood, I probably wasn't aware of it, or at least I don't remember anything. But when I first started to notice some strange things was I actually was attending a boarding school in Northern California, and it was kind of a cool mm-hmm. school because it was actually a summer camp. So just imagine going to school at a summer camp. I mean, it was pretty awesome.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah, and we lived in cabins, and, you know, there's a little lake kind of thing and canoes. And, you know, it was pretty exciting to live out there, you know, being out in nature. And so that was probably back in the late 80s that I was there. Maybe I'm trying to remember exactly. It was probably 89 and 90 when I was there. And while I was there, I had had some interesting sightings. And what those would consist of would be these large, bright white balls of light, not like shooting stars, I mean, much, much lower, like, you know, tree level, basically, and they would slowly descend, you know, at a slight angle to the earth. And you have to remember, I mean, this is in the middle of nowhere. Now, there are some phenomena. There's a phenomenon called ball lightning, but that's usually associated with, you know, electrical storm activity and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I had seen those things three different times. And, you know, I've seen them, you know, behind the tree lines slowly floating down. And, I mean, it clearly was not any kind of aircraft or anything like that. But what really started the whole thing with me was, and this is going to be kind of weird, and it's going to sound kind of weird, but I started having all these symbols popping into my head. And I couldn't understand why. I mean, I was becoming obsessed with these strange symbols, and they're kind of hard to describe. And then what I found out is that I could actually basically, I could take a piece of paper and a pen, and I could write the strange writing. And,
oh my.
You know, I didn't know where it was coming from. And it was even so compelling at one point where there was one major symbol, which incidentally I had tattooed on my chest, but it was so, the symbol was so powerful and compelling, I didn't know, you know, what it meant, that I actually made on the riverbank I made the symbol with big stones, you know, I took these big rocks and laid them down in the shape of the symbol, but I really wasn't able to connect the meaning behind it at all. It was kind of weird.
Camp. This is when you were at camp.
Yeah,
this is when you were at camp.
Yeah, it was boarding school, so that's kind of when things started to get weird. And I was probably 16 at the time.
Okay.
And so, you know, I hadn't really connected anything super paranormal with it. The only weird thing that also occurred there was I had an innate, and maybe you call it a psychic ability, to find Indian artifacts. I mean, I literally could walk to a vast area, and I still have this ability to this day, and I could basically point at a specific point at the ground and, you know, and find an artifact. It was really weird, but that was really the only other weird thing that happened. Yeah, it was
Do you
weird.
Have Indian background? Do you have Indian blood in you?
More than likely. You know, I was born in New Mexico, but I'm adopted, so I don't really have any access to any kind of bloodlines or anything like that.
All right, go ahead.
So then things started to get really weird when I moved up into Oregon, and I'll kind of start this off with a pretty amazing story. It's probably one of the most, if not the most amazing story I have, is I moved up here to a rural area east of Oregon City, and the way it was laid out is we had these double-wide trailers, and they were sitting on a paved one-lane airport runway. And it was a runway, but it wasn't like a municipal airport where there's a tower or, you know, anything installed. So it was just basically
it was kind of a small runway, kind of a private airport kind of deal.
Yeah, just for like ultralights and stuff like that. So there's no technology there to speak of. So basically what happened is me and my roommate one night, we went to a friend's house, and it was about 10:30 at night, and we were driving home. And as we approached this trailer about a quarter mile away from it, I started to get this sense of impending doom, like something bad was going to happen. Have you ever felt something like that?
Yeah, I have. And it just kind of creeps you out, and then you try to find reasons like, oh, no, I'm just being dramatic, or I drank too much coffee, or I had one too many beers or something. But I know what you mean.
Beer. Yeah, so it was kind of a weird, overpowering thing, and I even had my roommate stop the car. So we eventually, you know, I had her, you know, proceed to the place, and we pulled in, and I got out of the car, and I just happened to look up in the sky, and I saw this huge white light in the clouds that was directly above our trailer, and it shot off just as I looked up. And, I mean, I'm not talking about a speck of light. I mean, the clouds were illuminated. I'll tell you what it reminded me of was when you have those movie openings and you have the light hitting the clouds, you know what I mean, with those big spotlights?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like a big giant spotlight, and you didn't know where it was coming from.
Yeah, and at the time, I thought it was weird because, I mean, this is out in the middle of nowhere. So, well, not
right,
in the middle of nowhere,
yeah.
but, you know, it's out there. So anyways, so we get out, and we walk up to the trailer door, which was unlocked, which was weird because we had a lot of exotic birds at the time, and we probably had 30 parrots in there. I know, like, you have the crazy cat lady. Well, we were kind of the crazy bird people.
you had locked your place when you left, so why would it be unlocked?
Yeah, and the whole bird thing is why we would have locked it. But anyway, you know, human error, whatever. So we walked in, all the animals are acting weird. The cat is, you know, doing the tail between the leg. The cat is acting all weird. And, sorry. And
he was acting like that.
Exactly. And so when I walked in the trailer, the air was thick. It's hard to describe, but it felt like there was an intruder in the house. You know what I mean? Just felt wrong. And
well,
so,
going back to your impending feeling of doom or however you felt, even driving up back to your home, Jason, and then you go in, and now you're even feeling it. Would you say you were feeling it even stronger?
Oh, yeah. It was intense. I was convinced that there was a burglar in the house.
Okay. All right. And Jason, just before you continue, I just want to remind everyone you're listening to Paranormal Horizons here with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. Jason is actually telling a true story that has happened to him about an alien experience. So thank you for tuning in. Go ahead, Jason. So you've entered into your home from being out somewhere, have a very bad feeling, and you've even locked the home when you left. Now you come home, the home is unlocked, you walk in, your cat's freaked out, go on.
And so I walked in, and I walked into my room, and, you know, I took my shoes off, and as I started to walk out, I stepped on something, and I was like, oh, that's weird. And I looked down, and there's a huge lump in the carpet. I mean, I'm not talking like a golf ball size, I mean, there's this huge lump in the carpet. I'm like, what is this? So I grabbed my roommate, and we're tripping out about it because we knew it wasn't there when we left. And
that's really weird.
So she, yeah, I know. So she cuts it open, and she's reaching down in there because we're trying to figure out, you know, did moisture get in there or whatever, you know? And
something
pokes her finger, and she pulls out this strange metallic object. And if you saw it, you'd understand why it was so weird. I can't even really describe it to you. I've posted some photos of it online. But the story just starts getting really weird. So we take this object.
When you stepped on the object, Jason, there was no, like, was the carpet all intact? Or, I mean, had somebody, like, made some sort of incision and inserted this object? Or tell me how that came down.
There was no logical explanation as to why the carpet did that. Somehow the carpet, the padding, became ultra compacted. We inspected the underside of the trailer, and, you know, there's no moisture. You know, there was no explanation for it.
Wow, that's weird.
So we were so tripped out by it, you know, looking at this thing, which is just completely bizarre. You know, and I'm not talking about a nail or a staple. I mean, you just, I'm gonna post the picture on our page so people can understand what I'm talking about, because they'll understand when they see it why we were freaked out.
Okay.
So we were so tripped out about it by, I took it and I put it in a small plastic container and I buried it under the runway. So,
oh my God, you were like, get this out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, yeah, we don't want, whatever this is, we don't want it.
I mean, was it like hot or anything like that? Or, I mean, did it have any special characteristics?
Well, it did have special characteristics, but we didn't find that out till later. But
okay.
It was broken at the end. I mean, that was the only thing. It was like something was going on in there, and like something left in a hurry and broke it off in the carpet.
Okay, and you were like, I got to get this out of my house. I'm just going to go bury it.
Yep.
Wow.
So we we're tripping out about it, and so, you know, I'm thinking about this light that I saw in the sky. So we call the Mutual UFO Network, like, the next night, and we're telling them about it, right? Well, in retrospect, that was a big mistake.
Really?
Yeah, it was a big mistake to let the cat out of the bag over the phones, because the next night, it was a night or two, it was shortly after, within a day or two, the middle of the night, 1 in the morning, several cars pull out on the runway, not terribly far from where I buried this thing, and, you know, because it was still under the runway. And these people are out there with their headlights, you know, all pointed in, and they're doing something out there, and we're like, you know, what are they doing in the middle of the night? And they're acting all shady.
Right, and so, yeah, and this is obviously an unusual thing to occur out there in this little airport strip.
Yeah.
Right?
See, this is, and after, you know, like I said, it's a small little runway. This is, it's private property. It's owned by somebody that actually, you know, lives on the land. So this isn't like some FAA thing or anything. So they eventually leave, and me and my roommate are like, what are these guys doing? So we go out there, right? And we go to where they're at, and they had installed some kind of device. It was on stilts, and it was a metal box, and it was completely sealed, but it was vibrating and humming. And
really?
It was obvious that something electrical was happening inside this box, but there was no wires going to it. So it was some kind of self-contained unit.
Huh. How weird. So you find this thing in your house, you bury it, and then in a couple nights later, cars in the middle of the night are showing up, and they've installed some sort of weird device. I mean, like, was it on a pole or something, or trying to visualize
it?
It
was maybe a foot off the ground on stilts, kind of like, four posts going down with cross bars on the side kind of thing.
Okay, gotcha. So did you go talk to them?
Oh,
say,
no,
hey,
no.
What the hell are you guys doing?
No, it was so weird. We waited till they left to look at this thing. So, of course, we're thinking, okay, maybe it's some sort of beacon, a transponder, okay? It is an airport, right?
True.
So
yeah, new equipment, something like that.
So we go to the landlady, and we're like, yeah, what's this thing that these guys put out there? And she had no idea. I mean, this was her private property. She's like, I have no idea. So we asked her son. He's got no idea, what this is, why did it show up, right? So now I'm like all conspiracy theory, and I'm like, I take this object and I move it to another location. A night or two, guess what happens? These people come back and they collect their box.
Oh, my gosh. So that's really freaky, Jason, because it's almost like the box was corresponding with the device, and somehow it knew that the device or the object that you found was no longer there.
Yeah, and if anything is being done on that property, the landlord's going to know about it. You just don't do something and,
Yeah, they should know. Yeah.
So
then what happened?
So I got in contact with a researcher, and I gave the object to him, and he was going to do some preliminary testing. And during this whole course, this is over many months, I was starting to get followed around town by, like in the movies with these, Crown Victoria cars, government agent kind of thing going on,
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy, he was doing some testing, and he, at one point, he decided to meet with a professional photographer to get close-up pictures of it. And they were sitting in a Starbucks, and they had all these pictures laid out on the table. And this guy walks in, just completely blatantly, starts taking pictures of him, sitting at the table.
Oh, wow.
And he walks up to him, and he's trying to get an eye, to see what's on the table, and they hurriedly cover all the pictures up. And so it was just weird stuff was happening. I would be sitting at McDonald's eating a McMuffin, and one time I saw a guy sneak up on my car hiding behind a couple cars over, and he would pop up and he'd start taking pictures of me sitting in my car.
Wow, how weird.
Yeah, and they would be, I don't know. I don't know why, it was weird. It's one of those things
you
don't hear about in movies.
Yeah, so somehow it must have been related to the object that you guys had found in your home. You turned it over to a researcher, and then suddenly you're being followed. It's almost like they wanted, did they want the object? Did they try to get it, take it from the researcher? Did weird things happen to him?
There was, at one point, I hid it inside a cabin out in the middle of nowhere, and sure enough, the cabin was broken into, but nothing was taken. So, I don't know. That's speculation on my part, but there was never any overt attempt to, take it.
But did you ever find out what the object was or what someone thinks it is?
Well, I know what the researcher thinks it is. He thinks it's an instrument to perform implants. That's what he thinks. I'm more skeptical on that. I have no idea what it is. But he did some testing of it, and if I don't know if you're familiar with a micrometer is, are you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It basically measures things down to microns. And so
yeah.
If you were to cross-section this object at every point, you know, if you measured from every point, it was perfectly, you know, it was perfect construction, you know, so, you know, it was down to one micron or something. I mean, it was constructed perfectly. Mm. And he tested
Go ahead, Jason, sorry. Well, I was going to ask you.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll be quiet. You know, what the trouble is there's always like a slight delay between the voices. That's why we kind of talk over each other.
I know. But what I wanted to know was, with the object, was there any determination made of what kind of material it was made out of? Or was it something that could have been made here on this planet? Or do you know?
I know some of that. I know exactly what it's made of. So basically what happened is some people one particular very famous person, not just in the paranormal community, a very famous author, some movies have been made of his stuff. And so anyways, it was sent to him, and he sent it to a lab in Texas. And they were interested enough into it to test it with mass spectrometry. I think that's pronounced right.
Well, it sounded good to me.
Yeah, so, and what that does is it basically, you know, it's a big machine that tells you what things are made of.
Okay.
And so they conducted the test, and you know, they got this graph of everything that's in it. And basically, the object assayed as low-carbon steel. Now, they conducted their own investigation to figure out what it was. They could not figure out what it was. And the note that was sent back from the scientist, this is exactly the words that were on the note. Weird! Exclamation point. I'm still checking the aircraft industry. The green stuff is still bugging me, and I don't know what he's talking about. And so they couldn't figure out what it was. So they're like,
they were
tripped out about it enough to conduct a really expensive test, which was isotopic ratios, which basically they could tell now that there was, you know, chromium and iron in it, but what isotopic ratios will do will tell you if those, you know, because those things are found throughout the universe, they'll tell you if those materials are terrestrial or not.
I see. Okay.
So they're like, yeah, we're going to do this test, blah, 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 blah. And then the whole thing got shut down.
Really?
And I'll tell you exactly why it got shut down. Because this particular lab, its main business was with the government, the military. And the military the military came in and said, if you continue with these kinds of tests, these independent testing, we won't do business with you.
And they didn't want to lose that big contract.
Yep, and maybe it's a coincidence in timing, but that's what I was told. And so, of course, it just died right there. And nothing else came of that.
Wow. Well, where is the object now?
The researcher still has it.
Huh. What do you think it was, Jason? Do you believe that it was from, you know, an alien or what, the aliens have been in your home? What are you thinking here?
Well, I think it's one of two things. Either it's extraterrestrial, and there's other things to suggest that may be the case, or it's some sort of government shadiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It, unfortunately, it's hard to tell, but see, this, that experience is just one experience. You know, I've had abductions. I've had, with other people, I've had terrifying experiences. And so when I look at everything as a whole, I'm left,
right.
You know, compelled to think that it was extraterrestrial in origin.
Right, right. Because, yeah. I mean, especially when we started the conversation, you talked about, you know, you were in a boarding school in Northern California, and even then, so you're about 16 years of age then, and you start seeing, you know, the white balls of light that were low floating. You had symbols that were constantly, you know, coming into your head for, you know, you didn't know why. And so, yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way too. But going back to, if I can for a moment, going back to where you were living and you and your roommate found the object, and you told us about the cars coming and on the runway and that weird stuff, but did anything else strange happen at that house, like after you got the object out of the house? How did it feel normal to you again? And you were like, oh, thank goodness I got that out of the house. Now I can sleep. Or, I mean, what was the feeling for you there?
Well, there was always kind of a weird feeling there because the roommate before me killed himself in front of my roommate, blew his head off with her shotgun in front of her. So we were still finding pieces of him when I moved in. So there was always that maybe some sort of paranormal ghost thing going on, you know, that vibe.
Right.
But there were other things. There were intruders that were in there that my roommate caught somebody mm-hmm. in the house. Once we removed the object, over time, the whole floor in that whole place got all warped really weird. It doesn't explain the lump in the carpet. I mean, I'm talking about the baseboards and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. Well, Jason, I know you've got some other experiences that we can talk about this evening here on Paranormal Horizons radio show with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir, who is sharing his experiences that he's had with strange circumstances. But before we go on, why don't we go ahead, Jason, and hear from one of our prior guests. I know we've got some couple of commercials that we can play right now, and then we will be back to chat. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I'll hit the button.
This is author Edwin F. Becker, and I hope you're enjoying listening to Jason Ophir and Pat Rice on Paranormal Horizons, only on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter the world of the paranormal.
Oh, that was really quick.
Yeah, all right. Well, we are back. We've got about another half an hour here on Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio. And everyone, don't forget that you can listen to the on-demand episodes immediately after the show. And you can listen to all the episodes where we've talked with many interesting people, folks that have written books on their real-life experiences, folks that are interested in Bigfoot, ghosts, aliens, you name it. And much more to come in the future. But this evening, and this is Thanksgiving week, and hey, Jason, just want to say a happy Turkey Day out there to everyone. Whatever you may be doing, we hope that it's a good one for you as we finish up our show this evening, continuing to talk to Jason about his experiences with, I guess, Jason, the best way to explain it is weird stuff happening to you.
Yeah, and you mentioned Turkey Day, and I'm really kind of upset that I don't have a turkey soundbite.
Oh, I know. You know, we just can't think of everything, you know, and turkey sound would be good, but you do have Chewbacca, you know, one of my favorites. And, yeah, love the Chewbacca. And so, Jason, you know, you kind of recapped, and thank you for doing that, your experience with weird objects showing up in your home and weird experiences happening after that. I just think it's so bizarre that after, you know, you found it, you hid the object, you turned it over to a researcher, and then you're being followed and pictures taken of you. And that sounds so like government to me. You know what I mean? Like they knew something.
Oh, yeah.
You
never knew if you're going to end up in a river, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You must have been walking around during that period of your life really guarded and kind of, you know, watching everything you did. So how long did that go on?
I haven't had anything like that in many years, thankfully.
Okay, good.
It went on, you know, probably a couple, well, I don't know, maybe a year or two.
Oh, my gosh. A long time. Did you move out of that place fairly shortly after that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It wasn't every day. You know, I'd see the same guy following me, you know, a couple times. You know, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't all the time. But you have to remember that when the government follows you like that, it's not to follow you. It's not to surveil you. It's to harass you. If they want to watch you, they don't have to follow you around in a car to do it.
Mm-hmm. They kind of want to intimidate you.
Exactly. There's
yeah.
all sorts of technology, even back then, that they would have been able to utilize to see where I'm going, what
yeah.
I'm doing, who I'm talking to.
Right, exactly. So now... So, obviously, the object may have led to some other things happening to you, or maybe not, but like you said, you've kind of, even before that object showed up in your house, had some weird experiences that it sounds like, you know, at a young age, you know, when you're going to school and you start seeing, you know, balls of light and symbols in your brain, you probably... don't quite really know how to handle that or what that's all about. So that obviously, though, led into you sort of having some kind of understanding that something, you know, did you feel like, wow, I'm different or I'm crazy? I mean, how did you handle all of that?
Well, it's a source of great anxiety. I mean, I can tell you some terrifying things, but I'm a skeptic. I'm always a skeptic, and I always will be a skeptic. But at some point, when the same sorts of things continue to happen to you over and over and over again, you have to, you know, take stock in that because it just validates that something's going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So,
and go ahead, Jason.
Oh, no, I was just, this wasn't like you know, when most people talk about UFOs, they're like, yeah, I had a sighting back in the 80s, or I had a couple different sightings.
Yeah.
This was so bad that when I initially moved in with that lady in that trailer, I told her about the UFO problem, and I told her, and she did not believe me, and she believes me now. That's how bad it was.
Oh, really?
I mean, this was all the time. I mean, just crazy stuff that you can't even believe. I was at work. I came home. Her and her daughter were freaked out. A UFO literally, essentially buzzed the trailer within feet. I mean, it passed by the side window of the place. I mean, that's how
really?
Bad it was. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I mean, within feet. I'm not talking like 30 feet. I'm talking like right next to the place.
So you weren't home when that happened, so you came home and they were all freaked out, and you said, oh, it's probably just a UFO. I mean, is that what happened?
Pretty much.
Oh,
you know, I thought that
my buddy.
Well, what was weird was is they, by the time they, because it passed the window, and then by the time they looked at it, it was towards the road, and they weren't sure what they were looking at. So they said, "Jason's not here," and it shot off, and then it came back.
Oh my
back,
gosh!
And they said, "Jason's not here again." Meanwhile, you know, they're trying to find a camera, and it shoots off. And I thought they were full of crap, making it up. And so I grill them, and I believe them. I don't think they were making that up, because there was a lot of
wow.
other things that happened.
And they were probably like, oh, my gosh, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, me and that roommate were abducted one time, too, so she believes.
My goodness. So have these aliens followed you elsewhere then, like after you moved, and did the same thing kind of happen, like flybys? Or although it's probably easier for them to do a flyby kind of living out in the country, as you described that place, than maybe living in more of a metropolitan area.
I'll tell you, it makes no difference where you are. You could be in
really?
New York City in a high rise, and that's no different than being out in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. And I can tell you why, or I could tell you why I think that, why I believe that.
Okay, please do.
Because I was in a hotel, a rather nice hotel in Seattle, and I was sitting, laying in bed, and I was watching a movie. It was 7 Years in Tibet. Great movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that is
while
a good movie.
While I was laying there, I started to get this strange sensation coming over my body. It was like something was trying to turn me off. I mean, I'm not sleeping. I'm not trying to go to sleep. I'm just sitting there. And as soon as I felt that sensation, I knew exactly what was going to happen. And that's hard to explain, because you don't think it until you feel it. And then it's like something that's happened so many times before. And then when you feel it, you realize what's going to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it does. It's never happened to me, Jason. But, I mean, it sounds like, you know, the feeling of, I don't know, maybe you're trying to fight, like if I was, you know, falling asleep, but I was trying to fight it, but I had this feeling of, you know, oh, this, I'm going to sleep, it's coming over me. Or maybe, you know, drinking too much, like, oh my gosh, I can't fight this anymore, now I'm drunk and I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, I guess maybe it could kind of be construed, it's like a tumbling sensation. Now, mind you, I'm very familiar with
okay.
certain mental states, hypnagogia, sleep paralysis. It's nothing like that. This is
okay.
As soon as I felt it, I knew what was going to happen, and I was freaking terrified.
What happened?
Well, I started to shut down. I knew it was going to happen, and I just mentally fought it. So the lights were off. And I reached to the light, and the light wouldn't turn on, and so I lunged
oh,
out
no.
of bed. Meanwhile, I'm losing my ability to move while this is happening.
Oh.
I mean, I'm being my
oh my God.
Yeah, my body's being shut down. So I go to the lamp on the other side of the room to turn it on, and it doesn't work. So I look to my right, and there's the hallway to the door that leads into the hallway of the hotel. And there's a light coming. I can see the line of light from under the door, right?
Right, right. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there's this blackness, you know, that between where I am and the door and the light coming under the door. So I lunge into that blackness. And as I get towards the door, I'm falling because I've lost all capability, you know, all my mobilization. And as
right.
I'm falling into the darkness, reaching for the door, and a freaking alien head, I must have plowed into it because it was right there in my face, and that's the last thing I remember.
Oh, my gosh. And so while all this is happening, you still obviously you're feeling emotion, and like you said, you were terrified, correct?
Oh, it's pure unadulterated terror, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, everybody out there. So we're talking with Jason Ophir about his real experiences with aliens. So I'm going to interject here, Jason. You were abducted, correct?
I believe so on more than one occasion. That's the only way that I can kind of rationalize everything.
Well, what's the next thing you remember after, you know, feeling completely out of control, you know, no control of your body, and you see an alien face? Then what do you remember next?
It was the next day. It was the next morning.
What the next? And were
yep,
you just like laying in bed?
Yep, laying in bed and just freaked out, and it freaked me out so bad that at any time I was in a hotel that had a similar room layout, I would change rooms.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Because it was just too much of a fear to be in a room that had the same, you know, layout to it. It was because PTSD, let me tell you, something like that happens and, you know, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't hallucinating. It's just terrifying. And then you add everything else that's happened and it just kind of verifies it, you know.
Yeah. Now, but you don't remember anything that happened then, you know, assuming that you were abducted, you don't remember anything about that. All you remember is alien face, whole night gone, just waking up the next day.
Yeah, no, in this thing, it couldn't have been more than 4 feet tall. You know, the big black eyes, that's what I saw. I did go under some hypnosis, but I don't rely on that. I'm not a big fan of hypnosis. I did see some things in hypnosis, but when I went under hypnosis, I left my girlfriend at my dad's house, you know, and he's got a nice big house. And when I came back from the hypnosis, my girlfriend was completely freaked out because she was sitting in the living room, looked out the window, and there was an alien staring back at her.
Really? Did you see it too?
No, because I was just down the road. I wasn't in the house at the time.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow. What with you? What are they doing?
I don't know. I mean, it's just there's so many different things that have happened. I mean, I'm left to just think that there's something extraterrestrial going on. I mean, I'm covered in scars. I mean, you know, scars that can't be explained. I've discussed them with three different doctors, actually two doctors and a radiologist.
Obviously, there's more to tell. I mean, you have more experiences that have happened, which we're not going to be able to go into all of them this evening. But, you know, this is extremely weird that, you know, something is happening. You know, we've read, so many of us have read the stories. Maybe we've seen a movie or two where, you know, someone was abducted and there was experimentation and things like that. I mean, we really don't know what exactly has happened to you, but here, what I'm hearing from you is it has not been pleasant. It's not like, oh, hey, aliens, you're my buddy.
No. There's not a whole lot of things that scare me in this world, but aliens is definitely...
I know, you're a pretty big, tough guy. Yeah.
I am a big guy, and, yeah, it's you want to see me cowered in the corner of a room terrified? Yeah, that'll do it.
right, which I don't want to see that, but, you know, I could only imagine how terrifying that would be to, you know, have something like that happen and then, you know, wake up the next day and just have completely, like, blacked out for, not that you blacked out, but have everything go dark, so to speak, where you were just like, because normally, you know, like when you're sleeping or something, you know, you might wake up once or something, maybe, you know, to toss and turn or, you know, who knows, maybe go to the bathroom or something, but just to have absolutely nothing, you know, it's like a void. That's what it would seem like to me, like kind of what you're describing, and then you just suddenly wake up. And, I mean, when you woke up from that experience in the hotel, were you like wondering, like, wow, how many days have gone by? Where have I been? I mean, what went through your head?
No, it was just, you know, it's hard to describe. I mean, you wake up, and it's not a dream. I mean, you remember it as it happening, but it's just weird. I mean, it's hard to describe. But you know, that wasn't the first time that I'd actually been face to face with an alien one other time many years before. So. And that
was it the same type of fate, alien, you think?
Oh, yeah. Big black round, okay. Almond-shaped eyes. And it's a quick story, but it was far more terrifying than the one in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But this was years before. The first time that I'd been face-to-face with one of those things was about the time at the... when I was going to that school, and that was, so the first time is I was laying on a couch, it was late at night, and I looked over, turned my head to my right, and I saw one of the beings pass by one of the windows, and
oh my
before,
goodness.
Before I could even react to it, so I saw it, I immediately turned my head up. And as soon as I turned my head up, that face was right in front of me, and it jabbed a needle in my eye.
Oh, my gosh, Jason.
That was the first time that I'd ever seen it. And it was a needle type of thing, and it wasn't, like, into the eyeball. You know where that little tear duct or that bump is?
Yeah.
On the nose side. That's wherever that went, and that was all I remember of that.
Ugh, ouch.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. I mean, me and my roommate, you know, moving forward again to the object time zone, we were abducted and coming together and coming up from California. I don't know if we want to extend the show by 5 or 6 minutes to talk about that one, but that one was a trippy one too.
Well, it's up to you, whatever you want to do.
All right, I'll tell that
we
one.
Might. Okay, yeah.
So we, and my roommate,
coming up
the same
from
one
California.
We were driving up, you know, we had birds with us. And so we're driving down the highway, and late at night, we're in Southern Oregon, and we see a sign that says, you know, Chevron gas station 3/4 mile off the highway. And so we're like, cool, let's stop. We'll stretch our legs. And so we pull off the freeway, and lo and behold, the gas station is right off the off-ramp. But none of this connected at this point. You know, the sign says it's far away. It's right, and then we pull off the highway, it's right there. So we pull into this gas station, and we're doing what we need to do. And
right, you were tired, long drive.
Yeah, and so the guy was an old man. He was working there, and he was super nice and just, there's just something not right with the whole situation. He was super nice, weird. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking at this red car parked right there, you know, in a parking spot, mm-hmm. and there's two people in it. And I'm like, and they're staring at me, and it was making me uncomfortable, and I was looking at them, and none of this is connecting right now. I'm adding it, but it all kind of connects towards the end. And
you're just in the moment there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we get in the car, and we start to pull away, but before we leave, we're like, oh, let's check the oil. So this old man, you know, walks back up, and his attitude's totally changed. And he's like, all weird and negative. So anyways, we do that. We pull back on the freeway. What's that? Oh, did you say something?
Sorry, Jason, you cut out. Okay. You there?
Oh, okay. Yeah, can you hear me now?
I lost you. Yep.
Okay. So we pull back up on the freeway, and an hour is gone. And we're like, we were off the freeway for like 8 or 9 minutes, you know. How did we lose, you know, 50 minutes, 45 minutes of time? And so we're tripping out about it. We both feel disorientated. And so we start talking about pulling off in this gas station. And I mentioned the two people in the red car, and she's like, there was nobody there in a red car. And I'm like, it was right there. And she's like, no, there wasn't. She said, I know there wasn't a red car, other people there, because I was looking around, and I noticed, I thought it was weird that there were no cars there, because she was wondering how this old man got to work. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah, there was a red car there. And so this is where it gets weird, right? So normally a rational individual would just say, okay, you know, you're fatigued, you have different memories about what happened, and maybe you just lost track of time or whatever, right?
Right.
Well, the whole trip was delayed by the amount of time we lost, but that's not the weird part. The weird part is we were so weirded out by it, we called that exit, and we visibly drove by it again at a later date. There's no gas station right off the freeway.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
Nope, there's no gas station right off the freeway. And the sign that we initially saw when we pulled off was correct. The gas station was half a mile, three-quarters of a mile down the road. The gas station that we pulled off doesn't exist.
Wow, so I wonder what the purpose of that episode was, that they wanted you there.
I don't know, but it is, you know, in my research since, having the same memories or slightly different memories when people are abducted is common. So the red car to me was a mistake in the memory. So there's been a lot of people believe that when you have these abduction experiences, they have the ability to implant memory, or your mind will create what's called a false memory. In that case, since it was two people, that would have had to have been an implanted memory with a slight variation.
Right. I see what you're saying. Wow. No gas station existed where you actually went to a gas station. Jason.
And it wasn't like we just misunderstood what exit it was. I've gone along that stretch and specifically searched for that gas station and couldn't find it. So
I bet you did.
More than once. I've done it about three different times trying to make sense of the whole thing, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I would too. Wow, Jason. Well, listen, we've used up our hour here in Paranormal Horizons, and I wanted to thank you for being willing to share your experiences that you've had with, I guess we can say, you know, real life abduction and experience with aliens. And I, you know, kind of as you said, you know, you don't really have any clear explanation, or maybe you do, and that's another, you know, topic for another Paranormal Horizons episode. But we know that there's been other people, and again, books and movies and other people that we've talked to that have had some, you know, I'm not saying the exact experience that you've had, but you know, have definitely had terrifying experiences with these aliens that they're commonly called the Greys.
Yep.
And I'd like to just, you know, say anybody else out there that's listening, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us on Facebook. And we'd love to have you on the show to talk about more about some of these experiences. So, yeah, Jason, my goodness gracious. I've had other experiences, you know, maybe with some ghosts and psychic things, but never with aliens. I'm fascinated by aliens, and by that I mean I believe. And I've done a lot of reading, you know, good, bad. You know, some people say it was a great experience, but most people say it was a bad experience.
Yeah, and I don't think that my experiences are all that rare. I certainly don't think that I'm a special individual to have the experiences. I think that just a lot of people, they're just buried in their subconscious, and you know, whatever's going on with these beings, you know, they're very good at what they do, and they don't, you know, they don't want people to remember, and they're good at making you not remember or making you have false memories or, you know, people chalking it up, things up to nightmares or whatever, you know. But I do want to say, I mean, there are a lot of weird things. I mean, just because somebody has a dream about an alien doesn't mean you're abducted either. I mean,
right.
There's a lot of weird things that our brains can do, but in my case, it's a little bit different because there has been some physical evidence that's been unexplained, and
right.
There's been so many instances that you can't just say, well, I just had a dream, or, you know, I'm suffering from some sort of psychosis when other people are involved, you know.
Right, and you also, like you said, you know, you really almost resisted it in a way, like, you know, hey, is this really happening? You know, you're the dick, and you know, probably did a lot of research on your own, like you said, you know, the gas station incident. Sometimes go back and drive to that exact exit and check it out over and over and over, because you were trying to figure out what really happened. You know, what, there used to be a gas station here? Did someone tear it down? What the hell is going on here? So I'm sure you investigated it very thoroughly.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was no explanation. Or at least there was no explanation that I could find.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think it's a great, great ending to some stories, not stories, but real life experiences, Jason, that you shared with us this evening, and probably more in the future. I think you could probably write a pretty good book, too. So,
you know,
something to think about.
I don't think I have the tenacity or the self-discipline to write a book, but I'm not going to lie, it's crossed my mind, because it would make for
an
interesting reading.
Yeah, you need a book
writer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, listen, we've been working on a guest for next week's show, and it's always a surprise here on Paranormal Horizons who may show up on the show, and I'm just kind of, you and I talked about some ideas earlier, Jason, so we're working on possible guests for next week. Well, not a possible, we will have a guest for sure, and gosh, just wishing everybody a great Thanksgiving, you know, with friends and family, whatever you may be doing. Relax, kind of. This is kind of the time of the year where everybody sort of winds down, and Christmas is coming also. People take a lot of time off, so I just kind of wishing everybody, you know, safe holidays and you know, good times with your family. Some of us enjoy our families more than others, but this is also a time to forgive. So Pat Rice has given a little bit of advice there. It's not always easy to forgive some things that have happened in our family life, but maybe it's a time to think about doing that, everybody out there. So.
Yep, and I also would like to thank everybody out there for listening to the show, and it's been fun being a guest on my own show, and I always like doing it occasionally, and I'm going to be on another show next week, but off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of it, or I plug it right now, but for all you listeners out there.
Oh, we'll put it on
there,
the Facebook page.
I will. I definitely
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, put that on our Facebook, and yeah, lots of great paranormal shows out there, especially on Blog Talk Radio, from aliens, Bigfoot. I was just listening to a show right before our show, Jason, where they were talking about Bigfoot sightings and, you know, some strange things that had been happening with animals and things like that. So lots of great topics. Whatever you're interested in, you can certainly find it on blogtalkradio.com. And we look forward to talking with everyone next week.
Yep, and to all the listeners out there, always be sure to look towards the heavens because you never know what you might see.
Yeah, that's right, Jason. So, all right. Well, good night, Jason, and I will talk with you next week for another great episode of Paranormal Horizons here on blogtalkradio.com.
Yep, and I want to thank you, Pat Rice, and I'm delaying you for 1 second while I look at all these audio clips so I can find an extra. Where is
good.
It? Where is it? Let's, I just had it.
I love the audio clip.
Oh, this is making for good
this
radio.
This is our grand exit, right?
You know, my vision is so bad that I actually have to squint, but I'm trying to scroll through. But I think I found it. So thanks, Pat Rice, for everything, and I hope everybody has an outstanding Thanksgiving.
All right, Jason.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.